Blog Talk Radio.
Radio's Unveiling the Mysteries of the Bible. This program is brought to you live by the JC Overcomers Ministries out of Nebraska City, Nebraska, and I'm your hostess, Cheryl Fisher. During these programs, I want to share with you some of the treasures I've found during my treasure hunt with God and some of the miracles I've seen along the way. Tonight, we're continuing a study on the word faith. But before we get into that, I do want to open this up with prayer, just like always. Tonight, I'm going to start in Psalms chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, then Psalms 27, verses 7 through 9, and then Psalms 25, verse 7. And verse 11. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will shew forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity. For it is great. Lord, I thank you so much for another opportunity to come on Blog Talk Radio and dig into the scriptures. Lord, I need your guidance. I ask you to guide me as I get into the scriptures tonight. To have my mind totally focused on you, that every scripture I open up, Lord, that you will show me what it is that you want me to see from those scriptures, Lord. I need you to guide my thoughts and my words so that I'll say the things that will edify the body of Jesus Christ and also bring glory to your name in some way. I ask you, Lord, to send your spirit out and draw in whoever it is that you want to hear this tonight. And I also ask you to send your spirit out and draw in any that you want to hear this in the archives later on, Lord. That you draw them, Lord. That your will is done. I also ask you to break up any foul ground that any of us may have in our hearts or in our minds, so that your word can be planted within, that it may grow, Lord, in us and grow to maturity in us, that many others can be impacted by that word, so that we also can sow the seeds of the word to others. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. May your will be done here. Amen. Praise God. All right, tonight we're going to start in the book of Titus. And we're going to start in verse 1 of Titus chapter 2. That's Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." God wants us to speak sound doctrine, not anything else. Because if we're speaking another doctrine, it can be a snare from the spirit of the enemy. And he can use us to snare others. And we are supposed to prove what doctrine we actually are speaking forth. I want to welcome Barb on the phone line. Praise God. It's good to have you here. We are in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers." Because if you're a false accuser, that's a liar. And liars don't get into the kingdom of God without repentance. It says, "Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Now, I want to bring out something here. Here, it's talking about aged women. And it also says, teachers of good things. And then it directs them to teach certain individuals. But there's another scripture that tells, and let me pull it up because I don't want to misquote it. And this is why when we have doctrine, it is so important for us to take all of the Bible to form doctrine instead of one or two individual verses. In 1 Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. This is still in the book, or 1 Timothy. It's not in Titus. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. This is in Timothy. Okay, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, I guess I should put that in the chat room. That is 1 Timothy. Chapter 2 and verse 11. And it says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection." So in First Timothy, it's talking about a woman, and then in Titus, it's talking about the aged women. So there's a difference there. One is talking about a single, but she's not single because it's going to show something else over here. It's saying, but I suffer, wait a minute, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. So they're in subjection as well. And then in Titus 2, verse 3, it says, the aged women lies. Okay, so you've got the aged women and then the woman in First Timothy that is still learning. Okay, it says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So first off, you see the woman is learning. Also, but it says, but I suffer not a woman to teach. In this verse, it says, but I suffer not a woman to teach. But in Titus, it directs the aged women to teach. Notice the difference here. In one, it flat out says, but I suffer not a woman to teach. In another, it says, teachers of good things. Okay, so when we're looking at the Word of God, we need to look at every single word. There are specifics here in which people that they are supposed to teach in this particular verse. Okay, and there's other verses in the Bible that show women that were actually judges that would speak the word of God, that would command others. So we can't limit our doctrine on just a few scriptures. We've got to take the whole Bible and understand what is being talked about in each different scripture. Okay, let's go back to 1 Timothy 2, verse 11 again. It says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. So it's somebody that's still learning. And then it says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. So here in this part of the verse, it throws the man in there. And usurping is acting of oneself. And I'll pull that verse up. Because you have to understand what it's talking about. To usurp authority over the man would be her putting herself as the head over that man. Okay, let me pull this verse up. It'll take me just a little bit. That is 1 Timothy. I've got to open it up in this other program. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And then that is verse 12. Because I want to show you what usurp says. And you know, this is something, because of what the Lord has done in my life, this is something that I have had to deal with, and I still have a lot of questions on it. Because when I am sharing the word with others, that's when I'm growing. That's when I'm getting more from God. So if I'm not sharing it, if that river's not flowing through me, I'm not getting watered. And so just the very process shows me that I must be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And God gave me a word many, many years ago about what he was going to do with what he was putting in me. And so I'm going by that as well. We need to look at circumstances according to the Word of God. And this is why, this is one of the areas that I've studied a lot, is women and what their function is and what their function has always been in the context of the body of Jesus Christ. We've got women that have been judges. We've got Huldah the prophetess that actually commanded the high priest. You know, you talk about usurping authority over a man. But see, it wasn't her flesh that was doing it. It was the Spirit of God that was flowing through her that was the authority that was above the high priest and even the king. So God used a woman when she was married. Huldah the prophetess was married, and God used her to speak the word to the high priest and command the king and all Israel through a vessel of a woman. God chose to do that for his reasons. So when you put that together with these other scriptures, that's God's doctrine, not ours. We can't take one scripture and take it out of context. Okay, let's look up this verse or this word, usurp. And that is the number in the Greek, 3761, where it says to usurp authority. I'm wondering if I clicked on the right one. Hold on a moment. Let me try this again. Yeah, okay. To usurp authority is the Greek 831. I think I pulled up the wrong one. Yeah, I did. I must have clicked on the wrong one. Okay, and it says, this is the Greek, according to the Strong's, the number 831. And it says, from a compound of 846 autos and an obsolete hintes, a worker, to act of oneself, i.e. dominate, to usurp authority over. So if it's dominating and acting of oneself, if the Spirit of God is moving through somebody and God is the ultimate authority, then how can that flesh being usurp authority over the man if God himself is the one that is speaking through that individual? If it is the Spirit of God that is moving that individual to do things, how can that be usurping authority over the man? If we look at things the way people do in the flesh, Huldah the prophetess was usurping authority over men when she ordered the high priest and the king and all of Israel to do what she did. I want to welcome encouraging moments in the chat room and the guests also. So also there are prophetesses, but yet the Word of God in places talks about the woman being silent. How can a woman be a prophetess and be silent at the same time? It can't happen. It's impossible. And there again, you have, if somebody is prophesying the Word of God, it is the Word of God that is doing the work, not the woman. Oh, we're supposed to be as vessels for him to flow through. But see, if somebody is operating in their flesh and trying to teach the man through their flesh, then they are usurping authority. Absolutely. Okay, let's look at these verses again. Remember, it's acting of oneself, that flesh. So that makes all the difference in the world, because God has used women over and over again. Mary was the one that carried the word of God to the apostles. Jesus gave her the word to speak to the apostles. The very first one that carried the word of God after Jesus rose from the dead was a woman, not a man. Let me pull that verse up. Take me just a moment here. Gotta find the verse. I put in go brethren, and there's so many in here. It'll be in John, I think. So I gotta skim through them until I get to that one. It'll take me just a little bit. I should have put some more words in there. Almost there. There it is, John chapter 20. And this is going to be about verse 17. John chapter 20. And let me see if I need to back it up any. Yeah, I do, to make sure that you understand that this is a woman. Verse 11 is where we'll go, so we can get this in context. Verse 11 of John chapter 20 says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Now watch what he tells her to do. It says, but go to my brethren and say unto them. All right. He gives her words to speak to the men. Think about it. Just like Huldah of the prophetess spoke the word of God and commanded the high priest and the king and all of Israel what to do. Here is this woman, and it says, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Okay, so she did. She went to the men and told them. Okay? Let me pull that back up. I just wanted to look. Okay, it doesn't say anything about waiting for him. I was thinking that that was in there too. Okay. All right. So she carried the word of God, but yet, in Titus, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 12, it says, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. If she had kept silent, she wouldn't have been able to carry the word to them. So there is times when God uses them. Maybe this is talking about in particular here in this verse, being silent in the flesh, not letting the flesh speak. I don't know. But I want to present both sides of this issue. Because obviously, Jesus himself didn't want her to be silent. Or he would not have used her to carry his word to them. And then you've got the scriptures. Let me pull this one up. This will be in the book of Acts. Chapter 2, and about verse 17. Yeah, we'll do verse 17. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." It doesn't say your son, just your sons. But it says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Well, in order to prophesy, you're speaking the word of God. You're giving a testimony of Jesus Christ, because the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Let me pull that verse. Find which one of these I want to use. Okay. It'll take me just a moment. And that's going to be in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. That's Revelation, chapter 19, and verse 10. And it says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So if the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, and somebody is prophesying, they're bearing testimony of Jesus. Because it's Jesus is the word of God. So that has to be speaking the word. Because Jesus is the word. So if somebody's prophesying, they have to be speaking the word. Because they're bearing testimony of Jesus Christ. But yet, in 1 Timothy, it says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." So there's a context for this. There's a certain timing for this. Or we're not understanding what the word is saying. We're supposed to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, for a woman in her flesh to speak, to me, that's what it's talking about. Because if she's not acting of herself, she's not acting in the flesh, but it's the Spirit of God moving through her. Completely different deal. And that would account for the other. We see women that are not only speaking the word, but that word is commanding men what to do. So there has to be a difference here. And if we're not rightly dividing the word of truth, we're not going to be able to understand. And we're going to be in bondage. So many of us are in bondage. The devil is consistently throwing this at me, telling me that I should be silent, that I shouldn't be sharing the word with others. But yet, the Bible tells us, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And that is testifying of Jesus Christ. So we need to understand this picture. And then you've got in 1 Timothy again, I'm going to read verse 12 and then I'm going to read a few more verses here. It says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. So right here it shows that this is a physical understanding. This has to be talking about the flesh. Because in Christ Jesus, we're being reformed in him. Because Paul said, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Let me pull that verse up. So if it's Christ that has been formed in us, it's no longer this Eve that 1 Timothy 2:13 is talking about. Because if we've been made a new creature, and maturing in Christ like the aged women, it's not the same thing anymore. We're a new creature in Christ. Take me a moment to pull this up. This is Galatians chapter 4. And this thing that I've been wrestling with again, all over again. Because I have to be fully persuaded in my mind that I'm doing what God wants me to do. This is Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. I want to welcome Greg in the chat room. We need to be fully persuaded. Okay, Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. So we have this picture in Timothy of Adam was first formed, then Eve. So the ones it's talking about here is the flesh beings. It's not talking about the new creature. It's talking about those that are still as the flesh beings. It says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. That's the Eve that was formed from Adam. Well, if we're a new creature and Christ is being formed in us, is it the same Eve, the same woman that these verses are talking about? Can't be. Because then you have this other scripture in, let me pull it up. In Galatians chapter 3, I'll put that in the chat room. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. It says, there is neither, oh, wait a minute. Let me just back it up a little bit to keep this in context. Verse 24 of Galatians 3 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ. And then there's scriptures in here where it's talking about women, and they even throw in the so saith the Lord or something like that. Okay, so they're still talking about the law having dominion. That's before Christ has been formed in somebody. Okay, so here it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. There's the justification. It says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And many times in these scriptures, it's talking about in 1 Timothy 2:11, it says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection under the schoolmaster, the law. Verse 24 of Galatians 3 again says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. That original sin in the garden, if that sin wasn't also wiped out with Christ, then how could any sins be wiped out? Because that was the original sin that separated us. Jesus Christ came here to forgive our sins, even the one that Eve did. So somehow within the scriptures, the women have to be made free also. Galatians 3:24 again. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We're not under the law anymore. Now we become under Christ. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We're not talking about just a water baptism, a physical water baptism. We're talking about Christ being formed in us. That's the baptism with the Word of God. That washing by the Word of God process. That is the cleansing from within. That's when we have truly put on Christ, not put on water of man. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So there has to be a time of separation where we're no longer as this one formed. In 1 Timothy 2:13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Because now we have a new Adam, Jesus. And he gets formed in us. And we're supposed to be in subjection to our husband, Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to do the things that he wants us to do. No longer under the flesh authority, but under the authority of Jesus Christ. But we also need to understand that many times we will want to do these things in our flesh before the true spiritual authority has taken over. If we're doing that, we're usurping authority. If it's not the Spirit of God that is doing it in us, but it's our flesh, then we're condemning ourselves. But if it's Christ, and he has all authority in heaven and earth, How can we possibly be usurping authority over a flesh being? Because it's not us, but him in us that's doing it. And you just look at history through the Bible. There were women judges. You had hold of the prophetess. Let me pull that scripture up. And this has been so hard for me to understand this, but each time I get into this, God gives me a little bit more of this picture. And he knows that this has been bothering me so much, because what I do is share the word of God. I give testimony of what God has done in my life, what he shared with me. And the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the word. So it's sharing the word that he's given. Praise God. Let me find this. This is in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 14. 2 Kings, I'll put that in the chat room, 22 and verse 14. And, you know, this is something that has been heavy on my heart for several days now. I think it's been several days. Because I've got to be persuaded, absolutely beyond any shadow of a doubt, to know that what I'm doing is what God wants me to do. Otherwise, I could be going against God, and I don't ever want to be guilty of that. Because if I am going against God, I'm usurping authority over God. 2 Kings 22, verse 14 says, so Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam, in fact, let me back it up a ways so you can see that he's actually the high priest. Find that verse. There it is. In verse 8 of 2 Kings chapter 22, it says, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So here you see Hilkiah is the high priest. It says, and Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe shewed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah, a servant of the king, saying, go ye inquire of the Lord for me. And where they go is to Huldah, the prophetess. But she's not just a prophetess, she's also a wife. So if you think about the things that are being taught against women, they didn't go to her husband to get the word of God. They went to Huldah. So if you're looking at 1 Timothy the right way here, we've got to understand how that fits in with the rest of the scriptures. Because if we are not rightly dividing the word of truth, we're bringing bondage on the body of Jesus Christ. God has his reasons for every single scripture in here, and he wants us to understand why he does things like this. If there's a contradiction, it's a contradiction of our understanding. It's because we're not understanding the picture that God has within his word. If it looks like a contradiction to us, God cannot lie. So it has to be our understanding, our lack of understanding, that makes it a contradiction to us. Because it's God does not contradict himself. Okay, back to 2 Kings 22:13. It says, go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people. So he didn't just go to inquire of the Lord for the king, but also for the people. So the word that was coming from Huldah, the prophetess, was for the high priest, was for the king, and was for all of those people. It says, go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Asahiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikvah, the son of Harhaz, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. They communed with her. It doesn't say anything about them communing with her husband, but they communed with her. They understood the authority of God. But in the church today, we have such a lack of understanding the true authority of God. There are so many women today, because they don't have an understanding, that are in bondage. And the devil was trying to put bondage on me the last few days. And God wants me to understand this picture so that I am free to do his will. Because the devil's trying to hold me back from doing the will of the Lord. Trying to convince me, how dare you speak God's word? How dare you give the testimony of Jesus to other people? You're supposed to keep your mouth shut. That's what the devil's trying to do in my life. And convince me. But I have to be fully persuaded that what I'm doing is right. Otherwise, I'm going against God. And I don't want to be responsible for going against God. I've got to be fully persuaded. Okay, it says, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. So here's Old Testament. And a woman speaking of thus saith the Lord to not only men, but the high priest himself. You talk about in our flesh usurping authority. That would certainly look to us in our flesh as someone usurping authority. She spoke the word of God instead of her husband. So that looks like she's not only usurping authority over her husband, but she's usurping authority over the high priest, the king, and all of Israel. If we look at it the way a lot of people look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, we've got to have God's understanding here, not ours. We need the full picture, because if we don't, we are putting women in bondage. And we're not only doing that, but we're quenching the Spirit of God. And we're commanded not to quench the Spirit. If
God gives a woman a word to speak, and we tell her to be silent in the church, we just told God to shut his mouth. If that woman is truly being used by God, we have told God to shut his mouth. Think about it. Now, we have to have discernment, because we're supposed to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So we have to discern whether it is God speaking through somebody or not, or whether it is their flesh. But if they are speaking from God, and we're telling them to shut up, we're telling God to shut up. Let me pull up the scripture. Take me a moment. Matthew 25:40. Put that in the chat room. That's Matthew 25:40. And you know, I get this picture of being tossed by the wind of doctrine back and forth. And this is what has happened to me as I'm trying to understand this picture. I'll hear somebody say, well, you're not supposed to do that. And then I'll hear God give me a word. So I'm being tossed back and forth between what men say, men and women, and then what God's word says. I don't want to be tossed anymore. I want to be mature in him to where I know what I'm doing is what I'm supposed to be doing. Matthew 25:40 says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So if God is using somebody to speak his word and we tell them to shut up and be silent, we're telling him to shut up, because it says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And how dare a flesh being tell God to shut his mouth? Okay, back to Huldah. Verse 14 of 2 Kings 22 again. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Asahiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikvah, the son of Harhaz, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me. So this is a direct commandment. God using a woman's body to give a commandment to a man. Now, if we're looking at this through the flesh, you better believe this is usurping authority in our minds. But in God's mind, obviously it's not, or he wouldn't be doing it. It says, thus saith the Lord, behold, or tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place. Think about a woman saying something like this to the high priest. But he went to her for the word. because he knew that God spoke through her. Think how humble this guy had to be to go to a woman for the word and be willing to submit himself under that authority. How many men today are willing to submit themselves under the authority of God, let alone under the authority of God when he uses a woman? Their flesh does not want to do it. They'll pull these other scriptures out lickety-split. But as flesh women, we need to be fully persuaded that it's Christ doing these things, not us. We need to understand the picture to such a degree that we will be able to pull these scriptures out, because that is where the battle is. When Satan come to Jesus, Jesus said, "It is written." We need to know these scriptures so that we can say to them when they're doing this, when they're telling us to shut our mouth, "It is written." And we need to know those scriptures to be able to do it. Because that's the battle. But if we're not fully persuaded ourselves, how are we going to be able to persuade others? We can't. If there's doubt, it's sin to us. As long as there's doubt, it's not faith. Praise God. Greg has, that was an exception. God is a God of order. Yeah, his order, not our order. God is not going to do something that goes directly against his law. It's not going to happen. And that's not the only exception, supposedly, you know, when you use the word exception. What about Ruth? What about the judges that judged Israel? Think about it. Okay, if we got to understand it from God's perspective, not what our flesh is telling us. 2 Kings 22:15, "And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and God shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord." Like I said, for him to go to a woman, that alone is humbling. For men of Israel to do this, let alone a high priest, to go to a woman, he was willing to humble himself under the will of God, not the will of man. Think about it. Not only that, but he had to answer to all of Israel as well. How could he go to a woman? Think about it. He didn't go to her husband. He went to her. That's humbleness. Because he understood this was coming from the Lord. It says, because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. It's just understanding the authority of God. And if we're a new creature in Christ, if Christ really has been formed in us, then it's no longer the woman that's doing it. It's Christ that's doing it instead. Because there's a new forming that's taken place. Where in 1 Timothy, it's talking about for Adam was first formed, then Eve. But when Christ is formed in us, we become a new creature. Not saying just because somebody has accepted Christ, they're a new creature, because they are not. Until Christ has grown up in him. Yeah, Greg has, yes, and he established order. Christ will not go against the will of God. Exactly, Greg. There it is. You got it. He will not go against the will of God. So when he sent Mary to carry his words, he was not going against God's will. It's for us to understand. We interpret the word of God from our flesh many times, and that ends up going against God's will. Praise God, as long as he's exalted. Hey, Greg, could you put me a verse in there, what you're referring to? You've got, that's why Paul wrote what the will of God is for the woman. Would you give me a particular verse that you're referring to, if you could, please? I don't want to misunderstand what you're writing in the chat room. Okay, so let's see, where was I? In Titus 2, okay, let's see. Well, let's go back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, verse 12 says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And it shows that the woman that he's talking about here is the one that was formed, the flesh woman. It says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Okay, that woman has not become a new creature in Christ yet. There's no way. Otherwise, he wouldn't throw in this part about Adam was first formed, then Eve. But when Paul's talking about in Christ Jesus, there is neither male nor female. They're a new creature then. So there's two different formings here. There's the flesh forming, and there's the spiritual forming. And we grow up into him. He's formed in us. We take in the milk of the word that feeds that baby. And then we grow up in him and mature in him to where it's no longer the woman that is walking. We're not walking in the flesh anymore, but walking in the spirit. That is the way it's supposed to be. Okay, Greg's got something else in here. Let me look in here and see what he's got. Okay, I don't see the scripture. I thought you was going to put the scripture in that you were talking about. You're saying that is a distortion of the word, but I don't see... I'm not sure which scripture you're talking about, Greg, because there's such a time lag in here. I need you to be more specific, please. Okay, Titus 2, verse 3. This is where we were at to begin with. It says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. And then it says, teachers
of good things. But yet, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 12, it says, but I suffer not a woman to teach. So here, in our flesh, it looks like there's a contradiction. But there again, we need to understand the Word of God, because it says teachers of good things. But yet in this other one, I suffer not a woman to teach. So we got to look at these scriptures in complete context. And then in Titus, it goes on to talk about what they are able to teach in here. It says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This has got to be talking about flesh beings. It says, young women, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Okay. Yeah, I read that, Greg. That's talking about teaching women, not men in there. And it's the women that are doing this. It doesn't indicate here that it is the Spirit of God that's doing it in them. It is flesh, a flesh picture from what I see. That they're still in their flesh. They're not that new creature yet, from what I see. And I'm open to, you know, let me know. You've got, God will not violate his own command. Absolutely. Just like when Jesus sent her to speak the word. He's not going to go against it. All right, let's see. Verse 6 of Titus 2. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Okay, let me pull up this other scripture first that the Lord's reminding me of. And it's up to each one of us to be fully persuaded in our own minds. Let me pull that scripture up. That's in Romans chapter 14. And see, we need to get into the Word. Each one of us personally need to get into the Word and sort this out until we ourselves are fully persuaded. Because if we're not, we're still being swayed from one side to the other, back and forth. And that's what the enemy's been doing with me the last few days. As I start getting into some of these scriptures, the doubts start creeping in again. Praise God. Okay, this is Romans chapter 14, verse 5, says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. We have got to understand the Word of God until we get to the point to where we know that what we're doing is what God wants us to do. And I'm in the middle of this battle. Greg has, Jesus sent no woman to teach his word. He sent Mary to speak his word. He gave hold of the prophetess, his word to speak to them. Just like Greg is working this out in his own mind, I'm working this out in my mind. And we each need to be fully persuaded. Another scripture.
Take me a moment. This is in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. I'll put that in the thing. Okay, Greg has, he sent Mary to give a message. What was the message? It was his words. She carried his word to them. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll put that in the chat room. And verse 5. And it says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. If we're not persuaded that what we're doing is of God, the devil's already won. If we don't know beyond any shadow of a doubt that what we're doing is of God, the devil's winning that battle in our lives. We've got to stand on the word of God and be fully persuaded and make full proof of thy ministry. Full proof. There can't be any doubts, because if there's a doubt, it's not a faith. So if we still have doubts, we need to take it to the Lord. And that's what I've been doing, is these doubts keep trying to creep back in. Because this is what the devil does. He tries to knock us down. And we've got to be fully persuaded. I want to understand the scriptures from God's viewpoint, not my viewpoint, not anybody else's viewpoint. I want to be fully persuaded by God, not by man. I don't want to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Let me pull that scripture up. That's in Ephesians 4. I'll put that in the chat room. And to be fully persuaded is where all doubts are gone. That you know that your house is built on the rock. You know beyond any shadow of a doubt that there's not one scripture that doesn't match what you're believing. And that's what I'm trying to do here, is to make sure that what I'm doing is right. Not try to convince myself, but allow God to show me whether what I'm doing is right or not. Ephesians 4 and verse 14. But I want to back it up a little bit to verse 10 to keep this in context. Ephesians 4, verse 10 says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Okay, Greg has in the chat room, God has clearly spoken regarding the role of women in the church. And I respond to that in Christ Jesus. There is neither male nor female. And Huldah the prophetess was speaking to the church. The high priest and those that were sent to her was the church. All of Israel was the church. And she gave a commandment to the church. All of them. Through the word of God. Okay. It says, he that ascended is the same also that he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he know all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. All of us. Not just the men. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. This is what makes us grow, is the knowledge of the Son of God. That's knowing the Word. Because the Son of God is the Word manifested in the flesh. He is God's Word sent to us. So when we know the Word, we're maturing in Christ. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Not unto a woman, unto a perfect man. Christ is the one that's doing it in us at that point, not us. It says, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the new creature. It says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. If we're not fully persuaded in our own minds, what we're doing is of God. We're being tossed to and fro. If doubts are still creeping in there, we're not fully persuaded. And we're still being tossed. We've got to eliminate those doubts. And the only way to do that is to know the Word of God. He will eliminate those doubts when we absolutely know what truth is. And just the fact that God has done what he has with me has been so hard. I have battled this from the very first time that he gave me a program. The first time he put in my heart that I'm supposed to share the Word of God with others. This has been an onward battle for all these years. Because I haven't been fully persuaded. I come across these scriptures about women, and the doubts start coming in. I'm being absolutely open with everyone here. Because I don't want doubt, and I don't want to go against God. I want to be fully persuaded, not to satisfy my flesh. I want to be satisfying God. Because if I'm doing something wrong, hell can be the result. And I want to be persuaded by him, not believing what some person tells me. I want him to persuade me that what I feel the calling that he has put on me is right. Because otherwise I can go to hell. It says in verse 13 of Ephesians 4, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's not us anymore, it's him. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And this is how it gets a hold of us, because we don't understand the Word of God. And we misinterpret scriptures. And if we're not rightly dividing the word of truth, we're open to any deceivings that are out there, whether it's come from the devil
or other men and women will try to convince us what we're doing is wrong. But it's between each one of us and our Maker, whether we're doing what we're supposed to be doing or not. We're supposed to look at the evidence. As I'm sharing the Word of God with others, God gives me more. Just tonight, I'm getting a hold of this picture tighter and tighter in my own mind. I'm being more persuaded as I'm getting into these scriptures. God's strengthening my faith in knowing that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I've got to be there before He can send me out. I've got to know that what I'm doing is what God wants me to do. That this is Him doing this, and it's not the devil convincing me to go against God. Because I don't want to be in rebellion like Eve was. And it's harder for a woman in this position than it is for any man. Because they don't have these scriptures here that seem to tell them what they're doing is wrong. So we've got to look at all the scriptures concerning women to see how God used them so that we can be persuaded by the Word, not by what men and women tell us, but by what God does. Okay, it says in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. There again, this is talking about all the unity of the faith, all of us speaking the truth in love. And if, stop and think about it, if the devil can convince all women that they're not supposed to speak the word, half of the battle is won. If he shuts up all the women that God wants to use, half of the battle is won. All he's got left is the men. If he can convince us that we can't be used of God to share him with others, and it's bondage, it's holding us. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You together with, let me pull that other scripture back up. With Galatians 3, verse 28, that says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither male bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are one in Christ Jesus. So when it's telling the woman to be silent, if we're one in Christ Jesus, we're not that woman anymore. We're a new creature at that point, but not until we are growing up in him. Because as long as the flesh has more dominance over us than the Spirit of God, we're not that new creature. If we're still operating, if we're trying to usurp authority over a man through our flesh, then we're going against God. But if God is doing it, we're not. And there is so much of a lack of understanding in the churches. When people don't allow God to speak through a woman. And there are women out there that are claiming that God is using them and the devil's using them instead. And it's confusion. And it's all because of a lack of understanding on our part. Each one of us needs to be fully persuaded as an individual that we are doing what God wants us to be doing. And the only, not be persuaded by our flesh that we're doing it, but be persuaded that what we're doing lines up with what the Word of God says. We've got to know that what we're doing is right, or hell's going to be the result. Praise God. And, you know, there was still that little bit of doubt in me. And God wants it eliminated. Because until those doubts are eliminated, He's not going to be able to use us the way that He wants to use us. All those doubts got to be removed. When we have doctrine that we're sharing with others, the doubts can't be there. Because the devil's going to use them. He's going to use them out. Because that's like a crack in our wall of salvation. And that's where those arrows are going to hit for the cracks. Every doubt that we have, he's going to aim for those doubts and try to tear us down. What God is building in us, he's going to try to tear down. So we have to have our house built on the rock, on every scripture. And have such an understanding of the scriptures that he's not going to be able to find any cracks in that wall. Then when God sends us out, the devil can't tear us down. We'll be firmly planted on that, the whole rock, not on pieces of the rock or sand, but on that rock. And we'll be able to stand. No matter what he throws at us, we'll have these scriptures and we'll understand them to such a point they will be part of us. And when the devil comes, he's the one that will flee instead of us. Instead of us hovering down in a corner and ashamed of what we're doing, we'll be able to stand strong and bold in Christ. But we've got to know it ourselves first. Verse 16 of Ephesians 4 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. We're supposed to be fully persuaded. Not walking in the vanity of our mind. It says having the understanding darkened. Got to understand what we're doing is right. We've got to know it. Says having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance. That's what gets us, is the ignorance. Says being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The light of God takes away the blindness, and he'll expose those things. If we really have a heart for God, and God knows, I've been praying about this for so many years. He knows I desperately need to understand this because he knows I don't want to go against him in any way. And I look at how he's used me getting on these programs and how he'll open up his word as I'm doing it.
So how can I be going against God if the result is more of the Lord? And I keep weighing this, and then the devil will come in with these doubts. And I go back to the evidence. I'm being tossed to and fro. And we do this with every single thing that we believe. If we're really seeking God, we want to be fully persuaded in each thing we're believing, having every doubt removed. And this just happened to be one of those issues in my life to where the doubts still keep trying to creep in. But we've got to do this with every doctrine that we're believing. It's got to line up with all of the Word. Let me pull up another scripture. This is 2 Timothy 2 in verse 15. Put that in the chat room. Second Timothy 2 verse 15 says, study to shew thyself approved unto God. It's not man's approval that we need to worry about, but God's approval. We want to know what we're doing has been approved of God. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what keeps the shame from coming, is rightly dividing the word of truth. And you know, when I was looking at this in 1 Timothy, it did not, this part about Adam was first formed in Eve, and comparing that to Christ being formed in us, it didn't occur to me until tonight. That's when the Lord gave me this, as I'm sharing with you, because He knows I need to understand this. That's the flesh picture. That's when the man was made to begin with, versus the picture of Christ being formed in us, us being a new creature. There's two different formings here. And He's making us in His image now. He's remaking us. He's recreating us. It's no longer us, but Him. The more of Him is growing in us, the less of us there is. But if it's us that's doing it, then we're going against these scriptures in 1 Timothy. If it's that flesh woman that's doing it, they better keep their mouth shut and learn in silence. But if it's Christ doing it, we better not keep our mouth shut, because then we're quenching the Spirit of God. Let me find that verse. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5. And we'll go to verse 18. I'll put that in the chat room. This is 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. It says, in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, quench not the Spirit. But look what it says right after, quench not the Spirit. The very next verse says, despise not prophesying. It's talking about quenching the spirit and despise not prophesying. So to quench the spirit in this picture looks like it's stopping the word from coming forth, because the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So if you're despising prophesying, you're not allowing it to go forth. It says, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. And then look what he says right afterwards. Prove all things. We need to prove whether it's God or not, whether it's the will of God or not, or whether it's the will of our flesh. It says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And then it says in verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. That's the goal I want, is that there's not going to be blame found, that I've lined up with all of the word, not just part of it, that I'm fully persuaded. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That's washing every bit of doubt out of us, every bit of false doctrine out of us. That's sanctifying us wholly, and not just our spirit. It says, and the very God of sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. There's the body as well. It says, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We got to be fully persuaded that we've been called of God to do what we're doing. Otherwise, we can be exalting ourselves against God. If we fear God, we do not want to go against him. And the more we get into the scriptures, the more we can be persuaded what's true and what isn't. Just because it looks like there are contradictions in the word doesn't mean they're contradictions. That's our flesh understanding, not God's understanding. Let me find another scripture. Deborah was a judge. This is in Judges chapter 4. And if you stop and think about it, Moses was a judge. And here's Deborah, a woman, that was a judge. Judges 4, verse 4 says, oh, wait a minute, let me back it up. Let's just start in verse 1 to get it in context. Judges 4, verse 1 says, and the children of Israel, oh, I better put that in the chat room, I'm sorry. Judges chapter 4 and verse 1 says, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead,
And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, but look here again. Here's a prophetess that was married, just like Huldah. It says, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And what's the judgment of God? The word. The word is the judge. Let me find the scripture on this. Revelation chapter 19. I think of where it is. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. It says in Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame. So here's the judge. He also makes war. It says, he doth judge and make war, but he does it in righteousness, not in what our flesh thinks it's supposed to be, but he's the righteous judge. It says, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Now here's a name, and his name is called the Word of God. So the Word of God is the judge. And here's Deborah, a prophetess, which in order to prophesy, it's the testimony of Jesus Christ, a testimony of the Word. You can't prophesy without the Word coming out. It says, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. She judged Israel. Here was a woman judge. But it was through the Word. Because the Word is the judge. And look at what it says in the very next verse. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. The palm tree in the scriptures is a type and shadow of the tree of life. And here she dwelt. Look at how God sticks this in the scriptures. She dwelt under the palm tree. She was under Christ, under the Word's authority, the tree of life. Says, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah. And what's our palm tree? Christ is my palm tree. He is my tree of life. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel were up to her for judgment. They came to her, came up to her for judgment. The children of Israel, here's the church, coming to her for judgment. There's the assembly. That's what the church is, an assembly of God's children. And they came to her for judgment. They came to her for the word.
because the word of God is the judge. And she was a prophetess, so she gave him the word. Just like Huldah did. And then it says, and she sent and called Barak, the son of Abiom, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, and his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. So here again, she's speaking the word from the Lord God of Israel, the commandment from God. But men get in their flesh because they don't understand the spiritual picture God has in his word, and they'll tell us to shut up when God gives us a word. We've got to look at the whole picture, not just a few scriptures and a misinterpretation of those scriptures on top of it. Because usurping is acting of oneself. I pulled that up. Let me pull that back up again. When it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. To usurp authority is the Greek word 831. And it says from a compound of the Greek 846, autos, and obsolete hintes, a worker to act of oneself. If it's Christ that's doing it, it's not us. It's not our flesh, it's him. And if we don't obey him, we will have the wrath of God, because the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. So if he gives us a word to speak and we do not speak it, then we are usurping authority and we're acting of oneself. We're usurping authority over God if we don't speak what he put in us to speak. Then we're acting of oneself, and we're not supposed to do that over a man, let alone over God himself. It says to act of oneself, i.e. figurative, dominate, usurp authority over. That's what usurping is. It's acting of oneself. That's the flesh acting, not God. That's the flesh trying to dominate another person in the flesh. Praise God. And if we look at it from the flesh, then Ruth went against God. Huldah went against God. But if we're looking at it from God's perspective and his authority, they didn't. They served God. So we have to decide, who are we going to obey? God or man? Because if we do not obey God, I'll pull up a scripture and show you. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Put that in the chat room. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. This is what happens if we disobey God and we don't do what he's called us to do. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. If we disobey God and we don't speak the things that He gives us to speak, we're going to get the wrath of God because we didn't obey Him. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words. We can't be tossed to and fro with those winds of doctrine. We got to be persuaded in our minds that what we're doing is right. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words because of these things. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness. When we're not fully persuaded, the darkness is still entering in. That we're still being tossed to and fro. And it says here, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. When the light has been fully turned on in our lives and we're understanding that we've been persuaded by the truth that what we're doing is right, then we're going to be walking as children of light. And we're not going to be worried about what men or women tell us, because we will have been persuaded that what we're doing is right. Because the light of God has shown us the truth. We've made full proof of our ministry. Full proof. Not part way. And I'm still learning. Especially on this one particular thing. He's persuading me, God is persuading me more and more that what I'm doing is right. But I've got to be fully persuaded, because I don't want to have the wrath of God come upon me because I've disobeyed God. But the same thing goes if I don't speak the word that God has put within me, I'm also going against God. So this is my own battle I'm sharing with you. Because if I hold back what God's given me and I don't share it, then I can be going against God there too. So I want to make full proof of my ministry. I don't want to quench the Spirit of God and take that chance. And I don't want to disobey God either. And that's why we got to study the scriptures to know what we're doing is right or wrong. And I'm not saying think what we're doing. I'm saying no. Absolutely know what we're doing is right. And sometimes we've got to go over this and over it and over it to get it locked into us, to where the word becomes part of us automatically, where every time the devil comes with those doubts, whether he uses men or women to speak those doubts to us or he himself is coming at us, we will be fully persuaded in our own minds. And he won't be able to get in anymore, because the shield of faith will have the faith that it takes to bounce those things back off. All of those words that he's hitting us with, all of those doubts, the shield of faith, when we know what we're doing is right, the shield of faith is going to bounce them back off. They're not going to be able to impact us anymore. And that's where God wants us to be. Where there's no doubt that, hey, I'm doing what God wants me to do, and you're not going to stop me. Each one of us got to get there. We got to make sure that what we're doing is not flesh, but only God. Praise God. Okay, let me finish up the program with Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. May God bless and keep each and every one of us in his saving grace. And don't take my word for anything. Please don't let me convince you of anything. Take it to God. Because when he convinces us, we'll be persuaded by him. Don't take man's word for anything. Always take it back to the Lord. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Because if we're not doing that, if we're not proving it, we're disobedient and the wrath of God is going to come on us. God bless you all. Thanks again for being here. Have a wonderful night in the Lord and sweet dreams in Jesus, I pray. Bye-bye.
Every day, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no I did.